So when you say people come around, you mean people that you didn't invite?
Yeah, this is your girlfriend.
Some of my friends as well.
Come on, it's classic.
Some of my friends as well. To be honest with you, we don't invite anyone around anymore. That's it.
I love the idea you're so upset about the tea issue. You're like, no one else.
Welcome to Dirty Laundry with Jamie D'Souza and Mark Bittlestone.
Hello.
Jamie and I are comedians, housemates and friends.
Every show we go through what we've done to annoy each other that week and get a guest on to mediate.
And referee.
And generally take Mark's side, but that's not the point.
Put the washing machine on, it's time for some Dirty Laundry.
Hello and welcome to Dirty Laundry with Mark Bittlestone and Jamie D'Souza, except today Jamie D'Souza is not here. He has been called to a tribunal at his work. he's in quite serious doodah at Sainsbury's HQ. So we wish him well.
Is that because that they've listened to the podcast?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. They've listened to the pod and no, just for clarity. Sorry, I've got our guest today is the wonderful Kirk Fontaine. Welcome, Kirk.
Hello, guys.
Fantastic comedian, musician, and indeed musical comedian. And obviously you can't see on audio, but while I was describing that, Kirk had a look of sheer horror. I think both of the fact was happening and but secondly the fact that I was just nonchalantly saying it on air. No, Jamie's not in a tribunal. Well, he might be, but I don't think that's why he's been called in. I think he just has to go in for a meeting.
He's not on holiday,
although I am going on holiday tomorrow for a fortnight.
That's tomorrow, isn't it? The pod's today.
The pod's today, exactly. But that's just why we didn't have any wriggle room with oh God. Sorry, okay. my dog is currently assaulting. And welcome indeed.
And on that note,
welcome indeed to our producer, Alfie Evers.
Hello, hello. Can I just say it's nice to have Kirk here? And I think it's worth pointing out to the listeners that Kirk is a musical comedian, and it's often said.
Well, I did.
Oh, you did? Yeah, well, just in case I cut that bit out. hang on, my mum's calling me now, so that's good.
Oh, wow. It doesn't get better. Kirk, would you say that this is showbiz?
It feels like I've walked into my Spotify app. That's what it feels like to me. And it's kind of exactly how I thought it was going.
No. The pod this week is the wheels have really come off. And everyone has had an element of that. And Alfie's has been, his laptop sort of seems to no longer work.
Yeah.
So
we're going to do a crowdfund, I think.
Yeah, so Monday's recording with a chap called Simon David. Jamie had a hard stop at 1 for work. We started about 1:15, and then at about 1:30, Alfie's laptop went kaput and he discovered he couldn't get it back. So we just did a 25-minute recording, having missed the previous week in regards to the tantrum. And well,
yeah, I had questions about the tantrum. Like, I've listened to quite a few of these. Like, it's, I said, it genuinely is like stepping into a Spotify pod, but
great.
But it's that thing of...
So you actively enjoy it?
I mean... No, I do. It's a good concept. And, you know...
That's sweet.
What's it? Live together, cry alone?
Yes. Did you know what that was that's a pun on or a riff on?
No, I just thought it was catchy.
Yeah. It's actually a riff. Did you watch Lost, the TV series?
Oh, yeah.
The catchphrase, the tagline of that was "Live together, die alone."
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a little.
There's a lot more going on here, guys.
That show also went nowhere as well, didn't it?
No, that show was probably the biggest show of the mid-noughties.
Didn't it get to the bit where they were writing it? Obviously, like those shows, they write it week by week and they just didn't know how to end it.
Oh, fair play. Plot-wise, I think that's a valid point. Yeah, it ended up... I think almost everyone was disappointed with the ending and the big resolution. But yeah, as I think you say, they sort of... Well, I think what so often happens, isn't it, in telly, is a great concept for the first... They've plotted out the first two seasons and then wildly successful, so they get another, like, 4, and they just don't really know where to...
I think the writers admitted that they didn't know where it was going, like, because they weren't sure if it was going to get renewed again and stuff.
Bit so lost, weren't they? They were lost.
Very good.
Beautiful.
Very good. Very beautiful. Good, exactly.
So you allude to this tantrum that happened.
Yes.
I, as a guest fan of the podcast, I'm sure all the listenership would be wondering about please.
Yes.
Can we elaborate?
Please. Please elaborate. There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot to get into. But Jamie, it's great that he's not here to defend himself, actually. I can paint this however I would like. Jamie put what I would describe as got a childish, petulant message on the thread, mimicking copying the exact wordage of a previous message on the thread from our other housemate about a genuine housemate issue. Jamie sort of copied and pasted it in order to score points about a dripping tap, which is not something he cares about, given that this is a guy who will leave his light on and window open every time he leaves the house. And in the context of having, you know, I will spend half an hour a day. That's a bit of an exaggeration. I will tidy up after Jamie every day, at least a little bit. So in the context of that, I found his message very, very irritating. So irritating that I genuinely couldn't bring myself to sit in a room and laugh with him that day.
Wow. So it's like a proper couples breakdown, isn't it?
Yeah. So we had to... We missed a week. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought we weren't going to tell this to the listeners.
Well, they know now.
I was like, paint it as, we're all busy doing big shows.
Not until what? 2 p.m. on a Thursday.
I did think when Alfie did the, there's not going to be one this week, you know, and the little thing, but I've got a little message from Mark. and you cut off immediately and it was, oh, and he's gone. And it was like, something's happened there.
I was going to try and make it sound like you were calling from prison.
That's fun. I suppose, though, in the world of the pod, that's the most appropriate reason there could be for missing a week. That, you know, life has bubbled up and imitated art to such an extent that
it's all part of it, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. So we missed that, and then between Jamie and my holidays, the scheduling has really suffered. So thanks so much, listeners, for bearing with us, if indeed you still are.
I feel like it's difficult not to take some sort of meaning into the fact that Jamie isn't here for the week that I'm here, and the podcast seems to be falling apart.
Mm. What are you looking at me for?
I don't know. It's like, is this like, you know, is this the Titanic going down?
It does seem at the moment every sort of project I'm involved in seems to be sort of sinking.
Yeah, of course. Your girlfriend.
Oh.
Your...
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, she wasn't... it's fine. She listens to this, by the way. Hi.
What did we call her, Sarah?
We called her something different. Tammy, we called her the other day.
Tammy. She was Irish, wasn't she?
She was Irish, yeah.
Yeah.
Dublin. Nice lady.
Yeah, Kirk, within the space of about a month, Elfie got dumped. Lost the Afrosocial. Oh. No, lost the Queen's Head.
Yes. Queen's Head. But two gigs there. Lost the quiz and the comedy.
Yeah, and...
Something else, I can't remember. But my hair looks good.
Hair looks great.
Hair looks great. Awesome. So it's you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, hair's looking great. Betty's really into you. Our dog's currently sitting on Elfie's lap.
Yeah.
So fair enough.
Dirty Laundry.
Now, listeners, we should tell them how I know Kirk. I mean, of course, just on the comedy circuit per se, but more particularly, Kirk is involved in running.
Not anymore, I'm not.
Oh, wow.
Oh, have you stopped?
Yeah.
Change in management. Well, Kirk was involved in running. What I think is fair to say is the best.
Why are you laughing?
We shouldn't be laughing because I did it three times.
It's so infamous, isn't it?
The best open mic night in London, I think it's fair to say, the Lion's Den.
That's great. I used to assist my good friend Jimmy.
Oh, shout out to the wonderful Jimmy G. Yeah. Jimmy G.
Yes, running that. It was. Always an experience.
Yeah. It was, so to paint a picture for the listeners, it was downstairs in Bar Rumba.
That's right. Yeah, it's still going.
Still going.
Yeah.
So actually, listen, if anyone wants to get into comedy, it's pretty easy to sign up.
I mean, yeah, it is really easy, isn't it?
Get there by 4 o'clock.
Yeah, you have to queue on the day, don't you?
Yeah, unless you're a headliner like...
Well, that's it. A big, big old name like me.
Alfie.
Yeah. Or indeed, I've done it as well. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, we tried to book good headliners.
Yeah, but it doesn't
but then
always...
when we couldn't, you know, well, I just asked my friends. No.
I don't know about you, Matt, but I had the glorious spot of just after the interval when 75% of the audience left.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
And it was just people there wanting to be comics who were just observing me.
Because they heard you were on.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah.
No, do you know what?
So good fun, though, by the way, Kat. It wasn't meant to be sounding ungrateful. That was good.
It's still going. We got Tom Matthews.
No, exactly. It was on a Monday, right?
Tuesday.
Because I used to call Kirk and I used to joke because I used to do Rising Star a lot. Shout out. Another open mic night in Holborn.
Is that still going?
That well, under new management.
Oh, okay.
Will Davies, shout out. Running that now called Starlight Comedy. So I think it's nice to continue sort of stars as the theme. Anyway, I used to do...
Lion's Den.
So I'm just looking
gone,
at
but not forgotten.
I was about to call it Dirt. I was about to call you Dirty Den. I don't really know why that. I used to do Lion's Den and then Rising Star. And it was in the biz, for those listening. This is not a breakthrough terminology, but comics would call two gigs in a night a double. But normally you'd do a double because, like, you had one good gig and then you wanted to shove another in, or you're trying to double your earnings.
Or even a Friday night where it's two paid gigs where someone's I once was in a gig and a very established act was complaining about going to I've got to go to Milton Keynes now, and it's like, okay. Yeah. And when you're doing an unpaid 10 spot, you're like, okay.
Yeah, well, sorry, mate.
That sounds like a dream to me, but let's get back.
Exactly. But no, instead of, doubling up to maximize my income, I was instead doing two absolutely abysmal open mic nights that happened to be within a stone's throw of one another. So we playfully termed it the Devil's Double.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, nice.
It was the Devil's Double.
Yeah.
Mark would just message me going, any chance I could get a little Devil's Double going?
Yeah. But do you know what? Certainly the first of the... I did a think of batch of three within maybe a 6-9 month period. And the first one was really, really good.
That was I think you got a good one. And they were like, oh, my God, this is... I remember you saying to me, this is lovely. And I was like, it's not like this every week.
Is that when it was really rammed?
It was pretty good. I'd say it went for a period of time where like one in four was amazing.
Right, yeah.
And that kind of... But then there's so many factors to it. Like, not going so well as a night. But it's also, it's still a good place to do, early gigs and things and keep going back.
Yeah. Can we mention people and names?
You can.
The person... So the whole night was eventful. And so it was interesting how everyone left at half time. And then there was some people went on and I thought, they should never be in front of people or have a microphone. It's like that kid, and he went, I've got to go now. I've got to do another gig. I was like, someone else is giving you a gig.
God.
But the best thing was the person at the end that gets up and does that, what can only be described as a mental person's rant.
Okay, I would say. Okay, that's an assessment.
Bearing in mind,
I recorded that set. I recorded that person's set because it was insane.
I would like to remind our producer Alfie once again that when Jamie and I started the pod, where we wanted to position ourselves, sort of politically, was as a woke have a word. And so our own producer saying things like, "Would we describe that as a mental person's set?"
I think if people saw the video, they would totally agree with me.
Okay,
but yes, fair point. If anyone's offended, do apologize.
I think the night is a good example of how there's a sort of Venn diagram to do with comedy, people that are interested in the arts and comedy in general, and people who have mental health issues. And I think that's
100%
on display. I think it's on display a lot of nights though, and I think there are sometimes where like you talking about Rise, there's always good ones and bad ones. Yeah. That's where I knew
Pete
Mark
Nash.
And Jack.
Pete Nash, talking about serious mental health issues. that guy wore his bipolar on his sleeve. shout out. No, you're completely right. I think when you look at the open mic circuit, definitely, like far more than I think anyone who does comedy, far more than any other area of their life. You're like, there are mentally unwell people on this.
It was very prominent in comedy per se. It's just, I just think
for sure.
Maybe some people have better coping mechanisms and some people just maybe just better at being sociable on stage. Yeah. And some people just cannot control it, you know.
But I mean, I find that for me, there's such a joy in the open mic circuit. In the awful open mic circuit, like it's.
This is why he kept coming back to.
Exactly. There's something like
so sordid.
There's something like, God, isn't this terrible?
Well, the thing that was always funny about Lion's Den and still is like there's not a barrier to anyone performing other than getting there early enough. So for a lot of people that do go there, I mean, I would say. You know, some of them don't have other responsibilities in their life, so it's like, oh, I'll get down there at that time. And that's, you know, that's how it is. So a lot of open mics of anyone not in London, there's a lot of Google forms. There's a lot of like, okay, you know, if you don't know that person, they don't know you, then you might not get a gig there. But
yeah, I think there's a real joy about the thing I love about open mic nights is that, yeah, I mean, a lot of it is bad and boring. But then, you know, normally one in every half, you get like bad and insane.
Yeah.
Which is way more enjoyable than like just good. Do you know what I mean? Like bad and insane is my favorite type of open mic comedy.
Well, like that.
And we got that from Jimmy G every week at.
No. What's those awful ones I always talk about? I've forgotten his name. I don't know if you should drop it. You
what
know
are those awful ones?
G&B. Can you say that?
Right. Yeah.
I've never done it.
I don't think you've
never done
it.
No. Basically, it was one. So one gig I did, and it went on. The first half was an hour and a half. And an hour and a half of people who really, you know, not shouldn't be doing comedy, but aren't well practiced.
Sure.
So it's a long hour and a half.
Long, yeah, yeah.
And anyway, and then the second half was another hour and a half. And I did my bit, and I obviously. Yeah, I did all right. Nice stuff.
Naturally.
You said roofed it.
Roofed it.
Mark always cracks me up because one time he messaged me because I was emceeing at the last end and he said, oh, I'm going to run in late. I was like, oh, all right, cool. Sorry, I wish you the best. I'm emceeing, so cool. Like, get there at time. And he goes, busy roofing it.
That's
and it,
nice.
It made me laugh so much.
for listeners, roofing it in comedy means smashing it, but I was obviously bombing at that exact moment. Well, a classic Lion's Den moment was when we messaged Jimmy G, didn't we, saying, because he couldn't be there that week.
And it was a week which there was no audience whatsoever and probably only about seven acts.
Yeah, nightmarish. And this is a classic prank. We just messaged him saying, mate, you're missing out on the best ever Lion's
Den.
Oh,
I love that.
I think he was away on holiday with his family or something. He was like, oh, gutted.
130 people.
Yeah.
Is that where you started off at the Lion's Den and all that?
No, this is terrifyingly recent. Do you know what? Really, really funny moment. There's a sweet comic called Matt Lowes. I don't know if you've come across him.
I recognise the name, I think.
He's like, does material about being bisexual.
Yeah.
You might recognize. Anyway, I was with Jamie, Katie, and a few other people at a gig. I said hi to him, and he goes, I've seen you down the Cav. And for listeners to the pod, the Cav, Cavendish Arms in Stockwell is a classic like beginner's gig in comedy. And I was like, that must have been, oh, I think Katie goes, well, that must have been a while ago, like pre-pandemic. And he was like, no, a few months ago. Yeah.
I think that's quite healthy though. I think it's important, you know, because those rooms teach you skills.
Yeah, yeah.
They teach you how to maybe make something out of nothing.
Keep you in touch with your
and
roots.
I think a lot of comics maybe get fast-tracked to sort of safe rooms and they don't learn those skills. And then when they go to one of those rooms, they don't really know how to react and stuff that. So it's good. I think it's good on you, mate, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the Cav's so local, and I think if the slots were longer, if the slots were like 10 minutes, I'd probably be doing that all the time. I think one of the reasons I don't is because it's mortifying going up and like the competition element means that you like, you go, I mean, imagine you go up and like, and then if you're doing brand new, I don't want and you're obviously you bomb because it's new material. Yeah. And then an actor like, oh, he's actually not very good. And
totally.
I'm like, well, no, I am.
I'll show you.
Yeah, yeah. You want to see?
I'm working on something for something that you don't even understand yeah. yet.
Like, I think my favorite things to watch on stage is where like you like a comic, you know, experience or whatever is. It's going really badly with new, but then they like classic era announce to the audience that they're like, now they're going to switch back to gold.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've had someone, I won't drop names, but I had someone say, and he was trying new material and bombing, and he said, don't worry, guys, I am normally really, really good at this.
Yeah.
Like, you can trust me, I'm really good. I'm a really good comic. And he actually said those words.
Wow.
And I was like, well, how's that going to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't understand how that works.
It's the art form, isn't it? It's like you have to get better at it in full view, and also you have to try new stuff in full. And it's that thing of what I don't know. It's just
be open and vulnerable about it. Say, "Wow, I tried that. Sorry about that." But you don't say, "Trust me, I'm really good."
No, exactly. Okay,
well, I didn't do it again, Alfie, did I? So
I won't drop any names.
Dirty Laundry.
If you're enjoying our podcast, please like, share, subscribe, and leave us a review.
And tell all of your friends how much you're enjoying it.
Just like Jamie's enjoying saying this.
Thank you very much.
Let's get Ketty. Well, that's a good, I think, sort of précis on the open mic scene, but probably enough for our listeners. I think people are, you know, interested in the open mic scene potentially, but long and the short of it, get yourselves down to Lionsdale, unfortunately. Is that the long and the short of it?
No, I don't know, like, wouldn't this be better to go like, get yourself down to all the good, nice gigs we do, like the professional gigs. Like, you might be able to see.
No.
If you want to do stand up, yeah, try it.
It's yeah, like, exactly.
It's a rite of passage, I would say.
Right, that is enough on the Lion's Den. Now, just Alfie used the phrase open and vulnerable. So I'd like to just have a brief moment to consider all of our love lives. Is that okay with you, Kurt?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Give us the 110 for you.
I've been in a relationship for a very long time.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic.
And yeah, great. We've just moved to a new flat. It's great.
Oh, isn't that so wholesome?
Yeah, no. And you know, it was really weird because obviously people were like, oh, moving's really stressful. And I was like, is it? Like, we'll see. And then we did it and it was so stressful. Like, and yeah, my girlfriend was amazing. Like, just organized all this stuff. And yeah, sorry to be really boring, but really happy.
Oh, that's so.
Are you gonna put a ring on it?
If we did, probably elope somewhere at some point, but not.
Yeah, yeah. You're not stressed by it. That's so lovely. So, how long's a long time?
Oh, like 12 years.
Wow.
No, we lived together 12 years, so a bit longer than that. So,
oh gosh,
yeah, 14.
Oh yeah. So nearly for the whole sort of conservative epoch.
Yeah. Well, you know, you come together for a particular reason. No.
Oh, that's so lovely. So how did the two of you meet?
A David Cameron political rally.
No, it's quite a funny story. Well, I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, we'll be the judge.
Yeah, exactly. I at one stage had a job where I worked in the Sherlock Holmes Museum in central London.
I can see that, actually.
Okay, and I used to dress up as a Victorian policeman.
I can see that.
And greet tourists.
Yes.
Enjoy that tone that Mark had there. I can see that.
I can see all of these. Yeah.
And yeah, so it was just a classic. She was a Victorian maid, I was a Victorian policeman.
You know,
ooh, this classic. Is sexy,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, unfortunately, we didn't get together while she then left or whatever. It was like.
Did she say, ooh, nice truncheon?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of people said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a baton in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
All of that. Yeah, but yeah, it was quite funny in that sense.
I'd like to see your long arm of the law.
Very good. Yeah. Arrest me, officer.
I didn't do it. It wasn't me. Oh, sorry.
Instead of arresting me, could you fuck me?
But these are all great.
These are all great. These are all really good. These are all brilliant. Okay, so you worked together on that, but then a bit of time went past before you.
Yeah, so before we actually went out on that, but then you know, it was cool. We got together.
Nice.
It was great.
Oh, that's really lovely. So, yeah. Well, that's I asked because Alfie is really he's a nomad. He flits from lady to lady.
I'm a lone wolf, aren't I?
Yeah, lone wolf. So I was wondering what sage advice you could potentially dispense.
Basically,
to him,
you're trying to give Jack Reacher some advice here. Yes.
I know, he is a maverick.
Jack Reacher.
I like to think I'm Jack Reacher around. That's what.
Oh, God. Fuck's sake. Jack Reacher.
Well, I like to think of myself as this sort of like lone wolf cool character, but realistically, it's just some bloke walking around.
Wait, a reach around is when. What is a reach?
Well, you do.
You do the like yawn in the cinema. Is that a reach around?
Yawn in the cinema?
That is so specific. No, reach around is when you're doing something from behind and you reach around and play with the front genitalia.
Oh, God, that's way worse than I thought.
You could do that. I think that'd be called almost tromboning, but with your...
Right, I don't want to... Listeners don't want to know the actions Alfie's currently doing.
They already know them, to be honest.
Wow, okay, a reach around. Oh, there was me thinking it's that very sweet, like almost Spielbergian... cinema move where you're like a 15-year-old yawns and then puts his arm around the girl he's taken to the flicks.
Oh, yeah. That would make sense.
Which sounds, that's really cute.
Such an innocent world you live in, Mark, but also don't live in. This is
Alfie Reach. That's so funny. Okay, yeah, so advice from Kirk to Alfie. What do we think?
I think the problem is now any advice I have is like all out of date because of once you're in a relationship for a long time. It's like I've got friends who on the apps. Anyone on the apps?
Big time.
Which obviously is a lot of comedians. But it's that thing of like I've had a friend who told me he met a girl for a date and they, as soon as they got in and she remembered she had something to do. So just didn't like there's a load of stuff I think now where the level of like respect and decency to do with like what you know because you dating. It's easy to just go okay whatever you know you on to the next one right I have no idea man but good luck to you that's what I say
but like, I'm kind of retired anyway from the old game but you're right people treat each other like commodities now
I find it bizarre
like, you know like Mark going for a walk in the park the other day meets a night gentleman. Oh, come back, have sex with me. No care or thought for him as a person. Right, well, I'm just well jealous.
Thanks for telling the pod that.
I can cut that out. Not, that's fine.
No. That's not fully accurate. It wasn't a stranger. It was someone I have slept with in the past, and he said he was in the area.
Oh, sure.
So he thought he'd pop over. But I was with the dogs, and I bumped into him. And I was like, oh, wow, how's it going? Anyway, so he came back here and just...
No, I find it quite exciting hearing about, you know, some of the things. Yeah, I just, you know, it's like another... Well, it's one of those things, isn't it, where it's like just some of the things that Jamie complains about. Well, not complains, but he does complain a bit. Like, it's just that thing of... well, I did wonder if we were on like a tight schedule in case you had like a 3 o'clock, like, you know.
Shag.
Yeah.
Kirk trying to finger his way around the world.
reach around.
3 o'clock, 3 o'clock reach around. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, I often say that, you know, Jamie sort of lives vicariously through me. That's a bit of fun, isn't it?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Vicariously. Yeah, the Spanish people won't get that joke, will they?
Because B&B changed over.
Sorry, that's too Radio 4, that, isn't it?
No, that's nice. I think, but very Radio 4, yeah. Let's have more reach around. Less like it. I mean, that would actually be, in another world, you know, for this pod, a good name for it. Living vicariously, something like that. Anyway.
That's good.
More on that.
More on that.
Sorry, less on that. Less on that.
Dirty Laundry.
Okay, so what I thought is because me and Jamie normally talk about our gripes with one another.
Sure.
And you judge them. Obviously, we can't do that today. But what I thought is maybe if each of us has had housemate situations in the past that they care to divulge, we can discuss what we think the issue was and what should have happened.
Basically... I think Mark wants to slag off Jamie.
No,
hey, by the way, I'm all for it.
Yeah, at the end we can have an amnesty, a 5-minute Jamie amnesty. But no, I was going to bring up some other past housemate.
Well, what about didn't you have But the thing I've got
a gripe with a member of this podcast. Yeah,
amazing. Let's lead with that. Let's go, Kirk.
Well, I mean, I don't want to bring that. I want to just clarify before I go into this that I'm a big fan of both Jamie D'Souza and Mark Beilstein's comment and Alfie's, of course. And I was singing before I got into this podcast. You know, started listening to it. I thought, oh, they're particularly Jamie and Mark, because I know Alfie a bit more. So I would say, you know, more friends with Alfie or whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought you guys were really cool guys, you know.
Right.
And then the more I listened to the podcast, the more I thought, wow, like there's a lot going on there with those guys. But I was thinking I would live with Alfie, but I don't think I would live with either of you guys. Like,
wow.
Yeah, there's some things which I just thought,
yeah.
But one of the main reason, my main gripe, we're into gripes now.
Perfect.
We talked a little bit earlier about the Lion's Den. A little while back, a couple of years ago, I was at Rising Star with, and I believe Jamie D'Souza.
Yeah.
This podcast was emceeing there.
That's it.
And we had a nice chat afterwards, and we talked about that the night that I helped. And I said, I'll message you. You know, maybe you'd want to do a spot at some point, because we always want good. But at this point, I think I was like, wow, it'd be cool. He'd done on Comedy Central. This is, you know, I always thought he was great. He was always good, even in like difficult rooms. I think he's a really talented dude, right? So I was like that. Did he respond to me?
Unbelievable.
No.
Unbelievable.
I've got the text message.
Oh, fantastic.
On Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
And
read and not replied, or?
Oh, it seems to have seen it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wanted to check if I wanted him to get his phone out
and have
on
a
this.
Look.
Yeah. And that was, so my gripe, so whatever you say about that, I was going to side with you.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's not here is just, there's all this mounting thing, it's obviously something to do with me, which,
mounting evidence.
It's fine.
He's not only not replied to, he's not even in his own house.
He doesn't care.
Terrible.
Doesn't care.
Terrible. Yeah, that is bad. I think that's in line with other people's experiences. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast. I was like, okay, yeah, no, yeah. That's
yeah, 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 yeah. He'll invoke his sort of ADHD on that. Undiagnosed, I might add.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've pulled him up on that though. I've told him you can't be throwing that around as an excuse. Personal responsibility comes first.
Alfie calling people up on their ADHD.
Well, I know all about ADHD and all those things. Yeah, so if they want to go down that route, we can have a.
Yeah, that's not good. Actually, you should be replying to messages, particularly when such a gig is at stake.
Well, I mean, all right. You know, in terms of like, I think it's not amazing, right? But the point about it is, what, free 10 minutes in London?
Yeah,
not non-bringer.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The amount of both you guys responded.
Oh god, yeah.
Not
only did I respond, but I was regularly
coming back.
Yeah,
kept coming
regularly
back
in your DMs, asking for a spot. Yeah, that's not good. To be fair, sometimes Jamie, will also muck up his. There was one really funny time. He's got this bizarre calendar system where he puts everything in his Excel spreadsheet, because he wants to log like all the gigs he's done and the fees and so on and so forth. But then he, like, that's not an Excel spreadsheet, isn't a calendar.
No.
He then doesn't like transpose them to his like social calendar and gig. And there was one time where he was booked, I think, for 4 separate gigs on the same night, because he hadn't, like, on his different calendars. So he had to drop out of 3 gigs in one night. Total mug, bless him. But he's obviously a great comic, so it's nice to recommend him for other gigs. But sometimes I'm a bit reticent to do so, because he will sometimes just be at like 5 o'clock, just be like,
that reflects badly on you. Yeah. You don't want to. I will never recommend anyone I know that who won't be there, won't represent. I just can't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I just had the vision of him getting the message going, nah. Just
nah.
Putting it down.
Maybe he just thought, do you know what? Maybe he thought, I'm not ready yet. Just not ready for Lion's Den.
No, I think that'll be it, actually. He'll have heard about Lion's Den and thought, well, I'll come back in a couple of years' time.
Yeah.
Or he's just heard about the Lion's Den.
He's just heard about the Lion's Den. Was that the night that we did the Woody Stampede prank on Pete?
What's that?
So Pete Nash, shout out, who's a previous guest on the pod, great guy, father of twins, used to run Rising Star. Me and Jamie always would, you know, just spend the nights we were there with him, just sort of pranking him to high heaven. And Pete's a clown. Not that I mean that in
a New York accent way. Yeah. He's a clown.
I mean that in the sort of comedy, you know, way. And he's obsessed with all forms of alternative comedy. So we told him that this pro clown comic comedian called Woody Stampede, Namibian, was coming. Oh, he had asked if he could come down and do a 10 spot at the end of the night. So we really built him up. Pete was so excited. He was the headline act. Pete kept referring to this headline. And then at the end, Pete was like, and then we were messaging Pete, being like, Woody's just outside the door. He's not going to come in because he doesn't want to disturb the night and he doesn't want to get recognized. He's just outside the door. And Pete was like, yeah. And then at the end of the night, all the acts were on, and Pete was like, please welcome your headliner. It's Woody Stampede. And then obviously there's no one.
Oh my
there.
God. That's like Mean Girls level. That.
Yeah, bear in mind that. So when I used to do that night, obviously relatively new act, you'd just be standing there and they'd all find it hilarious. And those of us that were there just to sort of work on our craft were there like, oh, Woody, is it? And Mark and Jamie like, you know, pissing themselves laughing.
Yeah, I did feel bad because I remember when I started out, you know, on the open mic circuit, like if some of the like people who ran it had just been essentially disrespecting the night and giggling behind the counter, I found it really annoying. But we just found it so funny that we couldn't stop. Like when I put Pete, probably the funniest one was when Pete was on stage, and the Rising Star night is at the top of this, you know, narrow, tall London pub, and I grabbed Pete's phone, put it in the dumb waiter, and sent it all the way down to the kitchen. And he realised when he was on stage, he was like, "Are you putting my phone in the dumb waiter?" And he just left the mic and ran over, but it was too late.
So when he called this Woody clown,
Woody Stampede,
and he said, "Welcome on stage."
Yeah,
I mean, what happens? What happened then? Nothing happened.
He looks like an idiot, doesn't he?
Well, no one came on. He looked like he called his name like three times.
Woody.
And then he went to the
very good beat.
Woody. It's almost like a bit though, isn't it? It's quite good.
Yeah, it's funny. And then he ran to the door, opened it, was like, "Where's Woody?" And me and Jamie are pissing
ourselves. Oh my God.
And he was like, "Well, I'm afraid there's no Woody tonight." And he was like, "I don't even know if Woody existed."
I used to like doing it on the nights Pete was there. It was like a different energy to everyone else.
Amazing. When I started, yeah, like 2017, 18, I would, like, my favourite nights to go to were Pete's, the ones that Pete used to MC when he would do the Rising Star. There was a Goode Street venue as well.
Oh yeah, I did it once. Yeah.
And just his energy was so much fun and infectious and madcap. Me and Jamie also used to change. He would write down the running order and then absentmindedly look away, and then we would edit each of the names on his on his list.
Well, when I first met you, I spotted what Mark Bittlestone was about early doors, because if I left, my first thing was my clipboard.
Yeah, classic.
When
you
write, as alfievers.com, and he put ish. So it was, no, what did you put?
Something like
Commie Bastard, that's right. Alfie.commie
Bastard.
And I was like, right, this guy's got to keep my eye on this guy. Yeah.
Mischief maker.
That's good. But also, that was when I knew we'd get on pretty well. That was that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's a cunt, I'm a cunt, we're all cunts.
Yeah, that's it. I think I'm cheeky, but in a sweet way.
Yeah, I'm from the cheeky play of a playbook as well, I think. Yeah. So
The cheeky reach around play.
Cheeky reach around. Yeah, exactly. Now move, because I'm older, just pervert. Rich
We've actually, do you know what? We've not really mentioned you being an intergalactic perv.
Yeah, is that because my actions have changed or?
Yeah, I don't know. But certainly for the first 10 episodes that you were producer.
Do you know anything about
definitely,
this?
Definitely, it would be like, let's throw to the intergalactic pervert.
Most episodes would start with a dissection of how much of a pervert you are.
The worst thing is when you had a female guest. And they'd apologize. Sorry, just you have to sit next to me as a pervert.
Yeah. Sometimes you wouldn't even say something that bad, and it would be like, what did I say? Alfie, please.
Dirty Laundry.
That is a good gripe with Jamie, but maybe if we each have something that previous housemate has done, to us, or that we have behaved, you know, a way that we've behaved badly, and throw it into the room, and we can discuss.
Well, I've got so many. I've lived on the boundaries of the dregs of life. So I've got so many. I've lived in crack houses. I've lived all around. So I've just. But this place I'm in at the moment, when I first moved in, it was like 2 days
Jack
in.
Jack Reach Around. Jack Reach Around's lived in some places.
Wherever I lay my head.
Coming to a theater near you.
Let me tell you guys. I've lived in crack dens.
He's lived in crack dens, yeah. He's lived in bed sets.
It's like that, isn't it? But anyway, so this new place I'm in, it was all fine. Everything was working and everything was great. But then I, like 2 days in, in the toilet, I don't really told you guys this, someone had tried to flush bones down the toilet, Jesus. Right? And they were like big, like
animal,
like rib bones or so. They could have been human for all I know. Anyway, someone did that, God. So they wouldn't flush. Worse than that, and then someone then the next day proceeded, saw the bones and thought, yeah, I'll have a shit on top of those. Oh. So then someone took a shit on top of the bones. Jesus, so the God. Bones, neither the bones nor the shit would flush.
Oh my
how
God.
How insane is that?
Jamie will be so glad he's not here for this. Oh,
yeah. I've been saving that one. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Obviously, regular listeners to the pod will know that Jamie hates scat in all forms. But that's horrific. But
it's insane.
I don't understand why,
moronic.
If you have a bin, you would put bones
but
in the
toilet. But it's
not
just it. No, it's two parts here.
No, I get
the
that.
The bones, and then someone going, oh, I'll just shit on it.
How many people in the flat?
Well, it's a warehouse with different units. So in terms of using those toilets, it could be about 20 people, God. Maybe. Not that many, maybe.
20 people using one toilet?
Well, no, there's multiple toilets.
So this person could have chosen another toilet to...
Could have chosen another toilet to go shit on. I think that some of those really mental... Sorry.
There it goes again.
Cerebrally challenged.
Yeah, better, yeah. Wow, so is there a resolution? Have they unblocked the...
Well, that one got resolved. That was a couple of weeks ago. And then we've got this new problem now with someone... What people do, they tend to... Oh, they put food down the sinks. So the shower's got blocked. And then the hot water went. And then as some sort of weird protest, someone left the showers on overnight. So then it flooded the downstairs...
Jeez.
I remember you saying about this.
Yeah, and so it's just fucking insane. Mate.
Was there passive aggressive notes put up?
Oh yeah, so
please don't put bones down the toilet.
Yeah, the bones thing was great. The person who put the bones went, "Who the fuck are you?" And I thought, I like this person.
Yeah.
You idiot, you moron. I was like, this is good.
I was gonna say when Kirk said passive aggressive, I'd go straight to aggressive.
No, but that was a different situation. There's all these someone left stuff outside their door, said like left a note saying, if guys are moving out, if you want this is any use to anyone, please take it. And someone else wrote next week going, just clean up your shit. No one wants your shit. And then you twirl. And then they wrote back, yeah, I'm just putting it out. If anyone wants it, if not, I'll throw it away. And went, I don't care. And it was just this conversation I walk past every day, just on the wall.
That's amazing.
It's great. And I thought, what have I fucking moved into?
Yeah.
But actually, on the whole, it's not too bad.
Well, there was that rave as well, that like 40.
Oh, yeah, there was a rave as well with those drugs. Oh, fuck, there's a lot going on, isn't there?
Wow.
Yeah. A hot American chick, yeah. They all look like a scene. Those people again, those party ravers. I saw them again the other day. And they said, "So we're going to have another party, just to let you know." I was like, "Well, this isn't good enough." Yeah. And then I was like, "Anyway, I basically said like, you can just try and just keep the bass down and all this, and actually, I'll just see if I can stay at my friend's house." And they all came out. They're all very nice. It's a big mix. They all like a cool crowd. So it's a mix of people with like very gender fluid and cool, but very like New York scene. I think a lot of Americans. It felt like a bit like something out of Sex and the City.
Where the hell do you live?
I don't know. But they only turn up every now and then. I'm pretty sure they don't exist. It's just in my head.
I thought you lived in a flat, just a normal flat.
No, I used to.
No, it sounds like you live in like a warehouse in Brooklyn.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, they were like
sort of girls, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very much like an American TV episode.
Oh wow.
But they were nice enough people, but just fuck off, do you know? Just I want to leave me be on my own. Jack Reach Around.
Do you socialize with any flatmates though?
No. Okay. Well, yeah. I say when you're walking about, you bump into people, say hi, and it's I take my time with it, to be honest, because I like to assess who's
haven't
what.
You, haven't you had a doobie with one of the?
No, I try and stay away from that, because once I start doing that, my inner how it works is the dark side brain goes, oh, you've made friends with these people and they like to smoke weed. You should go. Yeah. And then before you know it, I'm doing it more frequently. So I have to stay away from that. Yeah.
Sure.
It's the dark side of reach around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's that past I'm carrying around.
That's the same. That's the same for you and weed, isn't it, Kurt?
Once Jack Reef around.
Hey, here we go. Here we go. Now we're moving. Now we're moving.
Do you know what? That's those professional gigs right there. That's
that is good. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's a further put. Jack Reef around is a pun on what was already. Yeah, but either way.
Yeah, right. Actually, we've over punned it.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, well, it sounds like Alf, you've got quite a lot of gripes to deal with from a housemate perspective. What about you, Kirk? Have you got any issues with your current housemate, who I understand is your long-term girlfriend?
Yes, and I do not want to talk about any of them on the podcast. No, not really, the one thing. No. What I've got more of an issue with people coming round.
Oh yeah.
Like I have a real issue with people who want a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And then they only drink like half of it or like a bit of it.
It's funny you say that because I make Alfie a cup of tea every time he comes here, and regularly there'll be an inch or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's true. Look at that. That is true.
But this is my point, right? But if you make someone a cup of tea and you only fill it halfway, they'll be like, what's going on here? What have you done this? Yeah. And it's like, oh, I'm a weirdo. Yeah. Like, for that, it's like, you're I find that.
Yeah.
That's a little problem. Agreed. That's for just house guests. Really.
I think it's about temperature, though, isn't it, with tea? I very much notice this now. I'm like, it has to be boiling hot. Mm. And if it's not, it's gone. Moment's gone.
But if you leave it for ages before having a sip, then it will get colder. You do know that.
Yeah, but I'm doing stuff.
Well, not a fat lot, mate.
No, but yeah, that's true. So when you say people come around, you mean people that you didn't invite?
Yeah, this is your girlfriend.
Some of my friends as well.
Come on, it's classic.
Some of my friends as well. To be honest with you, we don't invite anyone around anymore. That's it.
I love the idea you're so upset about the tea issue. You're like, no one else.
It's fine. That was something. But no, in terms of like flatmate, I've been pretty lucky because I've always lived with friends. Nice. And after university and stuff like that. So like did so many flat shares. But after that, when people started moving out of London, you sort of felt like, oh, okay, you'll stay. And then there were a couple of times where I was living with randoms, which was like an experience. We had one flat where... I mean, I have more of an issue with the landlords than the flatmates, but there was one where the electrics were so bad that if everyone was in their room, even like watching television or whatever, someone made a cup of tea, the kettle would trip the electrics and just, you know, cut out, which was a nightmare, basically. So you'd be, it'd all be in your room and then someone would be this... And then everything trip, and someone go, oh, for God's sake! And then I live in here, and all that. And it would be like that.
Yeah.
And you'd be there in your room, having just lost your PlayStation game.
Although 8 hours gone down the drain.
Your PlayStation game. That's
or whatever you were doing at the time, or whatever electrical thing you were watching.
Laptops have batteries. So you're probably right there. Yeah, yeah.
But I think Kirk's of the age, because we're about the same age, aren't we?
I believe so.
Where computer games, the autosave wasn't such a thing.
Yeah.
So you could literally go all day, play, and then it could trip, and then...
Yeah, I mean, I played a Nintendo 65 and...
64. All right, granddad.
Wow,
yeah.
65.
I played the 65. And what did they have? What was the was it in the game? Was it embedded within the game, the memory saving device?
Yeah.
But there was obviously not a huge amount you could actually save on it. And then the old PlayStation, you had a little memory stick.
Memory card.
And they were, 24 megabytes?
I said that.
No, even less.
Mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, not mental.
Crazy.
We're all doing it now.
Of all the cries we committed on this pod, I think mental's probably all right. Okay, so some gripes there. I want to give a bit more detail to the listener. I've hinted at this. Well, I've gone into some detail on previous pods. I was a nightmare... housemate in first year, a true terror. I lived at my unit. It was like a staircase, not like a hall, or you know, obviously just like 10 people or so. And in my first year, I was just a sort of booze hound reprobate, and
fucking lad.
Yeah, really thought I was sort of one of the lads. and just did some really awful things.
Like all right, top three.
Well, awful. Okay. I mean, this one's less awful, more funny, but my...
We'll be a judge of that.
Yeah, my...
Wait, let's imagine we're his flatmates.
Yeah, yeah. My immediate... the person in the room next to me, to whom I gave the nickname Big Dog, which stuck.
Mm.
Alex, lovely guy. But -6 vision, so almost blind. We'd often leave our doors on the latch, and when he was having a nap, I'd go in there and hide his glasses.
See, that's fucking brilliant, I think.
Yeah, that's just funny, isn't it? And then I'd hear him crashing about.
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, I don't want to speak for Kurt, but I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. If you're friends, that's good.
Yeah.
How good of friends were you?
I liked Big Dog.
If Big Dog was here right now?
I think if Big Dog were here right now, that would have been the least of his complaints.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was at the fun end of the stuff I used to do. And then I think one night I came back from Hammered, had a kebab in my hand. And I think, I can't remember what I wanted. Maybe I wanted to get Big Dog up to like shout at him or something. I don't know. But he was asleep. I was like pounding on his door. He was asleep. Maybe I wanted him to have a beer with me or something. You know, when you want to keep the night going. He
wouldn't. Yeah.
So I just covered his door in kebab.
But I used to be a nightmare as well, believe it or not.
Yeah, really.
You have to go. It's almost like you have to go through that process, like
doing the Lion's Den.
But
on to better things.
I used to live with this girl, and in fact, I can't say her name. Her brother's a famous cricketer.
Oh wow!
And I'll tell you after.
Is her name Amelia Stokes?
No. But anyway, she and when I come home drunk, this is like early 20s, and when I think I speak like you, I'll be like. Fucking, I'm party king, everyone should be partying.
Yeah.
And her bedroom door was on the ground floor, so you'd have to walk past it to get to access the rest of the house, really.
Mm.
So I'd just be like, bang, 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 come on, get up. And then I'd get into bed with her, wake her up. And in my mind, it was really funny, but it must have been horrific. That means she would never get any night's sleep. But
yeah.
So yeah. I did have to, retrospectively, if I didn't, I'd have to apologize to her for that. So.
Yeah. I mean, so I did the kebab gate. I would come back, and there were three levels in the staircase, and I'd come back from a night out and raid all three of the fridges and just make myself full meals.
Wow.
Yeah. I grabbed I had a vendetta against the Henry Hoovers in the staircases, but I grabbed the Henry Hoover, wheeled it out onto the lawn and pissed on it. I was a bad guy.
We've discussed it before. Do you think
the snowman?
The snowman's brilliant.
Yeah,
I'm on board with that one.
Yeah. my sweet guy, my staircase guy called Tristan said, let's get some Christmas decorations, and then came back with this bizarre, incredibly expensive papier-mâché snowman from like Waitrose.
Sure.
And then had the temerity to like charge us all £8 for it, which wasn't really what we signed up for.
Okay.
Anyway, I again, similar thing here, came back from a night out. I'm really painting myself as some sort of abusive alcoholic.
Can you imagine them all sitting in the house watching you go?
Trembling. Trembling.
Oh, he's going to be bouncing.
He's fine.
The latch on the downstairs door.
Not the doors.
Yeah. Kids, under the bed.
Big Dog, do you have your glasses? He's not doing that to me again.
Yeah.
But triple bolting their doors. Anyway, it was on the banister. I came back, ripped the arms and the legs off, threw it again onto the lawn and pissed all over it. And then finally did that with another one of my housemates, really sweet guy called Marion. Someone had got him two like inflatable pig balloons for his birthday. Grabbed them, popped them, pissed on them. Yeah,
it's a lot of pissing.
A lot of pissing. In my first year, I went through a real pissing phase. Not in like a water sport.
This is all part of a phase rather than your calling card.
Yeah, not in like a water sport sexual way. But one of my favorite things to do, there's like there's loads of shit nightclubs at Cambridge. A particular one was called Life, or we called it Life. Favorite thing to do would be like, while you're ordering a drink, just be pissing at the bar.
Oh my god, that's like that East End thing was like, oh, you can piss in someone's pocket. into their coat while without them noticing.
I did that a lot as well.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's horrific.
You'd be talking to someone while pissing on their trousers, talking to someone while pissing in their shoes. Yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't.
I would reiterate, this is why I wouldn't want to live with you.
I doubt you can get away with stuff like in Portsmouth, though, Mark.
Probably not.
In Cambridge, you think certain places you think I can get away with being a bit naughty, so you push the boundaries a bit more.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, my first year I was a bad egg. I was saying,
but wait, not to get too. But what? I mean, I guess the question would be: are you much more improved now? You never do anything fun like that when you're drunk now?
Yeah, were
like,
you fighting internal?
Yeah, I think so. I was in the closet and my mum had just died. So let's say it was those things.
I think you should set that at the start.
Lead with that.
Alfie can cut that bit out. He's a monster. He's an absolute monster.
Dirty Laundry.
Kirk, I'm sure as an avid listener of the pod, you're familiar with this final question.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to tell me what the question is?
Is the question, what is it that you love? Isn't it?
Something like, oh, well done. That was a test to see. And it sounds like you have actually listened all the way to the end of an episode.
We listened to up until the word love, which isn't included in the question.
Oh, right, yeah.
But it's very close. No, it's you've got to name one thing you're grateful for.
Oh, grateful. Yeah, of course.
But it can't be something that people have said before. So we've had,
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
We've had other halves. We've had the weather. We've had iced coffee. We've had meat.
Yeah. So. Has anyone, and this is a bit, I was thinking this might be too general, but I was going to go with music.
Nice.
All of music.
That's a good point. No one said it, actually. Yeah. You think someone would.
Yeah. Because if someone already had that, I was going to say hot chocolate, but.
The band. Yeah.
The band. Yeah.
No, not the band.
Just started with a piss.
No, I started really, really getting into hot chocolate. When I try and. Go to a bar in the daytime and you're like, oh, I can't have a pint because you're trying to do some writing or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, there's a bar I go to now and it's like they do a really good hot chocolate and it's like, okay, it feels like you're sort of a little bit more like, okay, cool, we're doing that. But I would say music if no one's had it because I just love it. It's just great. Totally. Like, one of the worst things about moving, I moved house recently and because I'm old, I had loads of CDs. That's compact discs.
And you had to get rid of them.
Who doesn't know that? Yeah, because what do you do? So I was going to the charity shop and it was quite funny having the charity shop guy judge your music tape. But he basically said, you've got a really eclectic taste in music. And I said, yeah. And he said, some of them are selling really well. And I was like, oh, good. Glad you know.
Oh, so they took them, the charity shop?
Yeah.
Charity shops are just full of CDs now. They've actually, ironically, they've turned into music shops.
Who's buying them though?
Good question. I didn't, I'd look on Music Magpie and all that to try to look at it, and I was like, oh, that's too much hassle.
Because I can understand the appeal of a record player because the sound quality is better.
And that's always been a collectible thing as well.
Yeah, and unique, the sound quality. And, but who's yearning for that sort of tinny compact disc sound?
Well, yeah.
I guess.
Well, you could argue actually the sound quality isn't tinny.
Is it not?
It's still digital.
Yeah, whatever speaker you're listening to.
It can be better quality than... I'm going to geek out a bit here.
It can be better quality than Spotify.
Definitely be, yeah. But you could have the setup. Yeah. But I got my old Mac out the other day from 2010 and it's got a CD input.
Unbelievable.
I was like, what is this?
Yeah, I think there was something really... I mean, when we used to go on holiday, we'd all bundle into the car and it had like... 5 CDs.
Mate, they blew. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
My mate had he's got a 6 CD. You could buy ones that had like 24 and you put them in the boot of your car.
Yeah. My dad had, it was a 6 one, but it was in the boot. So equally cool. But it actually meant that like a really sweet thing is that like me and my siblings, there's like 6 artists and we kind of know their greatest hits back to back. Do you know what I mean?
That's
just
nice.
Because of all these like...
That's that shared culture thing.
Yeah, it's like Rod Stewart, The Rolling Stones, Tina Turner, Belinda Carlisle.
Yeah.
Steps.
Not Steps.
ABBA.
Elton John. Yeah, maybe it was just a 5. Dire Straits.
Nice.
Yeah, so some big hitters. I mean, that's a pretty good, that's a pretty solid.
Good car music as well.
Yeah, great. Yeah, exactly. Okay, brilliant. Yeah, music. That's a great answer.
No one said it.
Yeah. No one else can have it. It's all mine.
That's wild. Well done. You've claimed the whole thing. Well, fantastic. So speaking of music, if you would like to follow Kirk, please do. He's a fantastic comedian and indeed musical comedian. Where can they follow you, Kirk?
At Kirk Fontaine Comedy.
Yeah,
I'm trying to... new reels every week.
Lovely stuff.
And you do a lot. You travel around doing a lot of comedy, don't you?
Oh, yeah, no. I started getting a bit more paid work last year. And yeah, just trying to out. So yeah, book me as well, guys, if you're a promoter.
Yeah, no, deservedly so. Kirk's a brilliant comic. F-O-N-T-A-I-N-E. Follow Alfie at alfieevers.com. Do you know what I'm going to say? Either don't or unfollow Jamie.
Yeah. I realised I don't actually follow Jamie.
Well, don't follow him. No. Not off the back of this. You've still not met him yet.
Well, I mean, we had a nice conversation at Christmas after a Christmas gig that Alfie had, and that was like, oh, okay, yeah. So
Should probably follow him. Yeah, well, please unfollow Jamie. Jamie's a joke. Follow the pod at dirtylaundry_pod. Follow me at Mark Bittlestone. Thanks all for listening and bearing with. I hope you've enjoyed this. I think it's been a great ep.
It's been our best one.
Yeah, probably our best yet. Hope you've enjoyed this slightly different sans Jamie ep, and see you next time.
Oh, wait. Dun, 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 dirty laundry.
There he goes. That is great.
Dirty Laundry.